to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. This is episode 394 to be broadcast on Wednesday, May 8th, 2024 on WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Welcome to Bicycle Talk without my friendly co-host, lovely Dr. Fran Storch. She's off to work today because she is off to Florida in a couple of days to go visit her mom for Mother's Day. What a good daughter. Yeah, anyway. So unfortunately, she had to make up some hours at work to be able to pull that one off, so she won't be with us today, but she might be listening. You never really know, because sometimes she has us on in the background, and she can make little comments. But anyway, if you would like to leave a comment, you can certainly leave one down here below, but I don't know if I can respond back to it. This is a Bicycle Talk, is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, you can just reach out and contact me either down below here at Facebook Live, or you can also contact me at bicycletalk@gmail.com. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. By the way, I'm a few weeks behind on that one. I'll try to take care of that in the next couple of days. Ron's Rant of the Week. Hey, tubeless fans and tubeless tires, just stop fueling my opinion. That's all I'm asking for. Just stop. Anyone see stage two in the Giro yesterday? Pogacar flats. Okay, right, the rim goes, it goes right down to the rim, and what's he do? He slips out on the sealant that goes spewing out of the tubeless tire. You know, if you just keep giving me more and more information, I'm just going to keep ranting on it. That's all I can tell you. But of course, this and more in the show. Positive side, May is Bike Month. We mentioned that last week because we were approaching May is Bike Month last week. Our first episode was just over the corner in May, just about a week ago, and so it was a good time to mention that the Bike League, the League of American Bicyclists, has a great site for checking out Bike Month, and this is the official Bike Month of the year. So May is the big time, and here's another one for you: the Giro is here. Ah, oh, the Giro! Anyone watching the Giro d'Italia? Good stuff. Good stuff. As promised, they are truly one of the classics of the Grand Tours. It started out with 2 days of hills. I like it better when they do that, quite honestly. You know, the Tour de France has either done the time trial or do the flat stage, and they do the sprints, and we're going to do that today with the Giro. That's definitely going to happen. But the Giro started out this year with two hilly rides, two definitely hilly stages, mountaintop finish yesterday. I don't know what's going on today. Please don't tell me if you are listening or have seen it at this time. I don't want to know about it. I'm going to watch it later on. So, another big shout out on a positive side here is that it is being broadcast, and if you have this, that's great, but it's being broadcast on Max, which is HBO Max, and they are streaming directly from Eurosport footage. So you get Sean Kelly, you get Jans Voigt, you get all the classic European broadcasters to handle the event, and there's just nothing like that. Jans Voigt is just hysterically funny. He's very quick-witted. He's a lot of fun, and Sean Kelly is possibly the most detailed announcer I've ever listened to. He's great. He knows the sport so well. He's sat in that pack for so many years. He's won a number of races also. Both he and Yancey both have done really, really well. So you're just getting a little bit different angle as far as that goes. And I was really happy to see Dan from GCN back at the studio too, which is kind of nice to see him there because I like Dan too. He's good. He's really good. So we've got some great broadcasts coming through. It's European TV, which makes it different than what we're used to. It's not an NBC Sports production, so it's not a what they call Peacock, right? Is that what they call themselves now? I don't know. Everybody changes things. So anyway, the Giro is here, and boy, it's fun and it's exciting, and we've got lots to offer there. Try to get to a little bit more of this in the show later on as we have time. And moving on a positive side, hot off the presses, Bike Walk Glastonbury. They're having a Putnam Bridge Trail opening on May 8th, which is this Friday coming up for anybody who is here and local. And it starts at 1:30 p.m. I'm thinking about getting there a little bit early on that one. And shout out to anybody who's watching or listening to this. Because there's also the Bicycles on Main in Wethersfield. If you haven't seen the Bicycles on Main yet, it's really, really cool. I'll talk a little bit more about it in the show. It's a positive event. It's a lot of fun, and it's worth going to see. If you can't get there during the weekday, you can get there on the weekend. It's in downtown Old Town Wethersfield, right near the river. And it's cool. It's just, you know, something to think about, talk about. You take lots of pictures there. It's cool. It's totally a cool thing. Mechanical Minute and Cycling Tips. Do you need a bicycle repair stand? Well, you know, not everybody needs one if they can't handle the tools, in which case I highly recommend visiting and establishing a very strong relationship with your local bike shop. You know that Pedal and Ron is big into the whole local bike shop thing because I owned a local bike shop for 15 years and worked in others along the way. So I'm a big believer in the local bike shop and supporting them. But if you want to do some of your own basic repairs, sometimes it's nice to have a bicycle repair stand. I have a couple of them. I've got a portable stand that I use for going to events with, so I've got the ability to carry it very easily in my car, and I can transport it, or I can transport it in my bike trailer or whatever I'm doing at that time. And then I've also got a more stable permanent stand at home, of which it was an old park shop stand. So it was a very heavy duty stand. It was made for doing professional repairs all day long. And I took mine, it was actually a single stand, and I actually took mine and I have it because I don't want to be tripping over it in my garage, yet I want it to be there nice and stable whenever I need it. I actually flipped mine upside down and it comes from the ceiling. So I bolted it into the rafters in the ceiling of my garage. And that gives me a very, very sturdy structure of which to work on bikes. Just recently moved it around a little bit more. I keep tweaking it, moving it in different places on the ceiling because I want to make sure I've got enough room to get around the bikes and get around to my bench and all that, and to my tools. But it's a really, really nice thing to have. So why do I need a bike stand? Some common repairs that can be done with a bike repair stand include replacing your chain, cleaning your chain, patching tires or inner tubes, whatever you, if you're a patcher. Not a big believer in the patch thing, but you know what? If you have to, you have to. And sometimes, you know, it makes a good spare as long as you make sure it does hold air so that when you need it as a spare, you can actually use it as a spare. That's a very disappointing thing when you pull out your patch tube and you find out that the patch didn't hold. So anyway, and I'm not a real big believer in patching a tube on the road unless you are down to your very last tube and it's an emergency situation. There's just a whole plethora of problems that happens when you try to patch a tube on the road. First of all, starting with sweaty hands, which have skin oil and other various problems. Plus, if you've been touching anything to contaminate the area that you're patching, that's going to be a problem. You really have to have a very, very clean surface in order to patch a tube. So Hence, I don't generally carry patch tubes with me as my spares. I carry the full brand new tube with me, and that's kind of a thing I do, and I like that. Other things you can do is you can replace inner tubes, and you can replace tires when you have a nice repair stand to work with. You can actually true your wheels on the bike on the repair stand because you've got a very stable surface. Now, better yet, if you have a nice truing stand, that's even better. You take the wheel off and you put it in the truing stand, and then you can really fine tune it and get it exactly right. But in a situation where you don't have something like that, you can generally use the brake pads as the guiding points for truing the wheel. And you can do that right on the bike on the repair stand. Tightening bolts, yeah, obviously. Changing brake pads, yeah, you can do that too. And adjusting front and rear derailleurs, yep, that's all there. Replacing cables, there's just so many different things that you can do when you have a repair stand at home. Again, if you do not have the knowledge to do any of this, don't do it. All right, go to your local bike shop. They're really nice. They're friendly. If they're not nice and friendly, find another local bike shop that is. That's a shout out to anybody who's getting grumpy at their bike shops. Don't get grumpy on me. Grumpy happens, by the way, if you're ever worried about that and you're concerned about the fact that, gee, my local bike shop just seemed really grumpy today. What time of the year was it when they were grumpy? Grumpy tends to happen towards the end of the season when they've answered that same question you're asking them the thousandth time, and there it is again. You might get a little eye roll, and you might get a little attitude. There's no excuse for it, okay? You should be nice all the time. That's just the way it is. We're all in the same boat here. We all like to ride bicycles, and, you know, be kind. Be kind. If you wish to have business come back to you, it's extra special to be kind. But anyway, grumpy does occur towards the end of the season, just so you know. Also, grumpy occurs when you're too demanding on your local bike shop. If your local bike shop is really, really busy, they can sometimes get 3 to 5 weeks behind in repairs. They're going to have a lot harder time taking care of you than they would have if you had just come to see them when they weren't busy. So I highly stress that, you know, I just really, you know, try to visit them when the time is right. And as always, when I talk about local bike shops, bringing along a friendly beverage or treat is a bonus. It'll put you in a special place on the repair rack. Usually that works fairly well. These guys are tired. They're, you know, been doing it for a long time, and it's nice to have a refreshing little surprise when you walk through the door instead of a catastrophe when you walk through the door. Speaking of catastrophes when you walk through the door, I'm going to give you a little bit more instruction here on dealing with your local bike shop. Don't go there with an absolutely filthy, disgusting bike, please. Don't do that. Clean your bike before you get there, or at least clean it down to a certain degree so it's not like this disgusting-looking whatever. We used to get everything coming in the store. I had a few people that would just, they were full-time riders. They used their bikes for transportation. That was their transportation. That's all they had. And their bikes were mildly disgusting every time they came in because they used them every day, all day long, and they got filthy. And, you know, they got a buy. I passed on those guys because if those guys and gals were out there riding their bikes every day and they didn't have time to clean their bikes because their bike was for transportation, I was cool with it. That's fine. You could bring your bike to me dirty. But if you know, just wipe down a little bit, take the dead spiders and cobwebs out of the wheels, you know, a little. I mean, I've seen it all. I'm telling you, I've seen it all. So, you know, it's always nice to bring a semi-clean bike into the bike shop. And they're probably going to clean it too. There's a really good chance, depending on what level of service they are offering you. But anyway, it's a kinder thing to do, okay? So there are some things to consider when you are looking at bike repair stands. And so I have a little piece in here. Let's see if I can find that in here. And here we go. So we've got different types of bike stands available. We've got the portable stand, of which I own one of those. Like I said earlier, I like to use that for bringing it to an event. And I've always got my portable stand there, so it's really easy for me to just pop it out of the back of the car or off the back of the trailer and just, you know, have a repair stand there for anyone to use or for me to use, which is helpful. It's much easier than doing the human repair stand, which is to stick your neck underneath the seat and lift up. And I mean, it can be done. It can be done. But anyway, much easier if you have an actual bike stand to do it with. The other types of stands that you can do, you can get the floor stand, which is going to be a very heavy duty unit. Usually a floor stand is something that a professional bike mechanic is going to be using, and it's probably going to be stationary because it's going to have a rather large steel plate that is connected to the bottom of it to keep it super stable when you're putting heavy bicycles on, or actually the bikes, they tend to off-center a little bit off the rack, so they've got a little tendency to get wobbly on the rack. But the floor stands are solid. And like I said, I have my floor stand flipped upside down and bolted up into the rafters in my garage. So it's not going anywhere. It's very, very stable. The only thing you have to watch out for is to not hit your head on it when you walk by it. But usually there's a car parked there, and if I'm going to be working on it, I have to back the car out so I have got room to work on the bikes. So that's something you should definitely look out. You can get repair stands in a fairly inexpensive level. Remember, the less expensive ones are not going to be as stable, but they might fold up for storage, so that could be kind of a nice thing, and they're probably going to be a portable stand. There are other bike stands out there that are portable stands that are much better made, I will say. The Park Tool Company makes some amazing bike stands, and they've been doing it for years. That's what I have in my shop downstairs, and I like them because, you know, they're industrial quality. They're just really, really solid. Even their portable stands are pretty good, although I have preferences there too. I like more of a tripod type stand. It's got a little bit more stability, and it really just depends. It's a matter of personal preference as far as that goes. But there's another thing to think about too. Well, I'll get to that in a second. So the third type of stand would be a wall mount or a repair stand mount stand. If you have a fairly high bench, you can actually mount it right onto the bench, but you got to make sure your bench is high enough so that you'll keep the wheels off the ground when you go to work on your bike. So you can do that either way, but better to mount it into a wall like a stud. If you've got a garage space that you're using, or a barn space or a shed of some sort, just you want to bolt it right into a stud of some sort so it's going to really be stable. And you can lag bolt those things in, and just like the repair stand that I have coming off of my ceiling in my garage, it's very stable and it's not going to go anywhere. So it's handy. It's real, real handy. And that, so you really kind of have to take a look and see what you've got as far as that goes. The other type of stand that you can, the other thing you have to consider when you're looking at repair stands is you gotta look at your bikes, because there's so many bikes now that have all sorts of aerodynamic seat posts and other various things that aren't quite right. I am not a big believer in clamping on anything but the seat post, because you can get yourself in a world of trouble if you try to clamp down on a carbon fiber tube, and it's a great way to ruin a perfectly good bicycle, so you got to be super careful about that. I wouldn't clamp on any seat tubes whatsoever unless I knew they were steel or titanium. I would, even aluminum, I'd be a little cautious about. So better to have something that you can clamp onto the seat post, and you can do it that way. Park Tool also makes a really interesting clamp that goes down into the seat tube of the bike and tightens up and expands in the inside of the seat tube and then clamps onto your stand. So there are ways of dealing with it, but boy, if you got one of those crazy aerodynamic fancy bicycles with the aerodynamic seat tube and the aerodynamic seat post, you got to be real careful about what you're purchasing as far as your bike stand is gonna that you're going to be using at home. So please be cautious about that sort of thing. I think we've spent enough time on this. This pretty much gives me, this gives you guys a good idea. If you have any other questions about bike stands and you want to know a little bit more about, you know, what do I need and what should I use, you can send over information to me and I can evaluate it and help you decide if you're looking for a good, nice stand. Again, I emphasize very, very strongly, I emphasize that if you do not know what you're doing, you don't need a bike stand. I mean, you can have it and you can use it for putting your bike up on it and cleaning your bike, and you could use it for, that's kind of an expensive way to do it, but that's a way you can do it. You can use it just for cleaning your bike if you need to. A clean bike is a happy bike. And not to say that your bike's not happy if it's dirty, but it's happier if it's clean. So remember that. And so you could even use your bike stand just for cleaning it down or wiping it down with rags and, you know, spraying down with a little soap and water to clean everything off really good. When I clean a bike, I tend to like to take the wheels off from the start and start from the frame and work my way out and then do the wheels separately. And if you've ever watched a professional race mechanic going over all the team bikes at the end of the day, it's impressive the amount of cleaning that they do to make those bikes real pretty. When you're in a, you know, pro bike race team, your bikes have to look perfect every single day because your sponsors are paying for that and your fans want to see a pretty bike. They want to see it real nice. So anyway, the bike repair stand can be used for cleaning your bike too. But again, if you don't know what you're doing, don't do it. People used to walk into my store and they'd say, I'd like to buy a spoke wrench. And I'd get a little hesitant, say, well, I've got spoke wrenches. They're right over here. And they would be up on the wall, and they'd take it off the wall and they'd bring it down and say, is this what I need to do my, to true my wheels? And I said, well, that's the tool you need. But there's some knowledge that goes along with this. And if you don't know how to use it, you can cause yourself more trouble than you're going to do good. So be sure you know what you're doing when you're using it. Well, I've never really done this before. Can you give me some tips? And I said, I'll have your wheel all set for you tomorrow. How's that for a tip? Oh, really? It's that hard? Well, it's not that hard, but I would get an old wheel that you have no attachment to whatsoever, something that is already on its way to the landfill or to the recycling bin, let's say. And I would work on that and kind of get to learn what happens when you turn the spoke this way, counterclockwise and clockwise, and see what happens to the placement of the rim. It's a craft. It's something that you really need to practice. And sometimes things look different than they are. So sometimes you see things kind of in the reverse way that you would normally think of doing something, and you can get yourself in a whole boatload of trouble if you're not careful with your spoke wrench. So be sure, if you're going to use the spoke wrench, you know what you're doing, because it's a great tool. It's a great tool. I usually carry one in my tool bag on my bike just in case somebody gets in trouble on a bike ride and I need to do a little bit of fine-tuning for them, or even for myself if I need to do that. Rarely do I have that opportunity to do that on my own bikes, because my bikes are usually pretty good to start with, but sometimes you hit something, and sometimes you break a spoke. It happens. By the way, backing up, I'm still playing with the subject, and I got to move on. If you do break a spoke on a bike ride, now it's time to go see your local bike shop, because there's probably a good chance if you break one, you're going to start breaking more in the future. Broken spokes tend to be a tensioning issue on the wheel. If it's not tensioned correctly, and the local bike shop will be able to figure that out. And the ore, it tends to be a brittle issue, and spokes do get brittle over time. So yeah, they don't last forever. It would be nice, but they don't last forever. So you might want to, if you break a spoke, you might want to go have a conversation with your local bike shop, because they'll give you an opinion as to whether or not it is time to rebuild the wheel or replace the wheel, because there's other things that could be happening. So anyway, let's move on. That's enough of the mechanical minute. That was a lot of mechanical minute. So we're going to move on. Minora. There's a company called EVT, and they're going to Japan's Minora to manufacture a very, very expensive portable bicycle repair stand. I saw that in Bike Retailer this month. So we'll see. It's not for everybody. Looks like it's more of a professional unit to me than anything else. Let's go on to May is Bike Month. Yeah, because May is Bike Month. So there's lots of things going on, and we talked about this last week, and I'm going to talk about it every week as we get into the month of May, because there's so many things going on. And so I'm just going to go down the list here, just so you know. In 2024, Bike to Work Week will be celebrated from May 13th through the 19th, with a Bike to Work Day on May 17th, 2024. And this is a time that you can say, you know what, I'm going to do this. I've been listening to Pedal Around for years. Pedal Around keeps telling me that maybe I need to park my car or truck someday and use my bike instead. I'm going to commit myself to riding my bike to work and home. Or if you're not working anymore, I'm going to commit to riding my bike to the grocery store and back home, or to run my errands around town and back home. This is the time to do it. It's like, you know, let's get the fever. It's hot. It's a nice thing. It's kind of a cool thing. So anyway, I don't know why Don Rogers here says he's lost my sound. I have no idea if that's on my end or your end, Don, but I don't think it's on my end because I'm still getting feed on mine. But anyway, could be a Facebook problem. You never know. So 40% of all trips in the U.S. are less than 2 miles, making bicycling feasible, a very feasible way to get around. Less than 2 miles. Think about that. Now, if you live in a really rural area, that's probably going to be a little bit different number. But if you live in an urban area and you need to run down to the local convenience store or to the grocery store or whatever, it's probably not that far away. And that's why it's a great thing to do. all right, Don, you get your sound back. That's good. So anyway, it's just... And when you think about it, first of all, let me mention, I have gone to stores, shopping centers, malls, whatever you want to call them. Probably not the mall very much because I'm not a big mall guy. But anyway, I've gone to places to shop, and I have watched, because I just pick the first spot I find to park. I don't think twice about it. Sometimes I park further away so I can get the first place I find, because there's no one there. So therefore, I can park there. It's really easy, right? Yeah, so I got to walk a few more feet to get to the store. I've watched people drive around in circles for 5 minutes trying to find the ultimate parking space. Well, when you ride a bicycle, guess what? You get the ultimate parking space, because you can put your bike right next to where you're going, because it's a bicycle. It's not a car. It doesn't require a space. It may require a rack, or be nice to have a rack. But once you get familiar with your local stores, you start to figure out who's got racks and who doesn't. Guess who gets the bicycle person's business? The one who has the rack, of course. And if they don't have a rack and it's a favorite store of yours, that suggestion should be made. It's a great idea. And you can tell them, they can go through their towns and they can ask and see if there's a city's grant for it, because there's often grants available to put bike racks outside of businesses. little talking point there. And if you are so industrious as to go to the town hall and talk to someone about that before you present it to your local merchant who you love to go to on your bike, but there's no place to lock your bike up, then you know, you can do the homework for them and then just say, hey, you need to talk to, you know, Dave, what's his name, at the engineering department in the town of you know where, and see if they can help you out, because they have a small cities grant available that they could use for putting bike racks in all along this whole plaza area that you're in. So that's a thing that a lot of people don't understand. A lot of business owners don't know that these things are available. And the thing is, think about it. If you can put a half a dozen bicycles in front of a cafe, all right, that's a half a dozen cars that aren't taking up the space outside the cafe, where there may only be a half a dozen parking spaces to begin with. So guess what? You get more business without having to have more parking. I hate that. Well, we had to move because we needed more parking. I hate that. I hate that. That's like, you know, no. Maybe what you need to do is you need to work on your clientele a little bit and figure out a way to make it more accommodating for them, and figure out clever ways to do that. So anyway. So that's 40% of all trips in the U.S., the Bike to Work Day, which is coming up, National Ride a Bike Day, was held the first Sunday of every May. Of course, it's long beyond that at this point in time. National Ride a Bike to Work Day will be held on May 5th. So we've already passed that. That's also Cinco de Mayo. Happy Cinco de Mayo to any of you who celebrate that. And yes, May the 4th be with you if you're a Star Wars people. The Walk, Bike, and Roll to School Day is another thing that is out there. The 2024 date is May 8th, which is coming up. That is on Thursday of this week. If your local school has something like that going on, they could really, really use your help, because it would be nice to have parents that are capable of assisting, monitoring, and chaperoning kids if they have it in their minds and so desire to ride or walk themselves to school. What a great idea. What a lovely idea. What a wonderful teaching moment for parents if you have the time to do it. And so anyway, another thing that happens and another thing that I wanted to talk about here was the Ride of Silence, which is another thing that we are locally doing here. We are the only Ride of Silence in the state of Connecticut, as I know to this date, I am pretty sure. So, and I can even check that out right now, because I'm going to click right into their site. And if you go to their site, you can see that they give you lots of resources on their page, organizing resources, founders blogs, news media, etc., public service announcements that you can send out, Ride of Silence poem, which sometimes people read before everyone starts out on the Ride of Silence. We have a local pastor who comes and blesses the fleet before our ride, which is kind of a fun little thing to do too. And remember, the Ride of Silence is dedicated towards people who were riding bicycles and either hit and or killed while riding their bicycles. I include pedestrians in on this conversation because of the enormous increase in pedestrian and cyclist hits and deaths most recently over the last few years. It's become kind of a big thing. This is an international event, okay? It happens all over the world. And it happens on the Wednesday before the Bike to Work Day. So this year it is May 15th, and we are hosting my friend Kevin Mahan and I are hosting a Ride of Silence at the Mansfield Town Hall and Community Center area, E.O. Smith High School area up in Storrs, Connecticut. All are welcome. There is no registration for it. All you have to do is show up and prepare to ride your bike a whopping 3.5 miles. It's not going to be very far, okay? But you are going to ride in complete silence, and we will have a ghost bike out on the course, and we'll kind of stop there and take a look at it. And it's just it's a symbol of where someone may have been struck by an automobile and not made it through. So anyway, we do that. We are hosted by the University of Connecticut Police Department. They kindly have gotten very involved in this over the last couple of years, and it's super to have them out there, because they're right now, we had graduation this last weekend, and so the students are all on a mass exodus, so we're not going to see a lot of activity up there. So they've got a little extra time because there's no students on campus, and we can also ride our bikes through campus very, very safely. We will also be riding on a couple of state roads, Route 275 and Route 195 are both Connecticut state highways, and we will be pretty much blocking the roads with all the people that we have showing up for this. I know my local club, I have a meetup page out to my local club, and I have a lot of people signed up from there, hoping to get more of you local club folks. I'm going to try to put a big push on this, because it's not this week, but it's next week that this happens. It came up really, really quickly. So here in, if you go to this site and you click on United States, if you're here from the States, you'll see a map of all the different states, and then indicators of the different states that have rides of silence. So if I click on Connecticut, what do I find? I find contact Kevin Mahan, and he's got an email address in here. It's 3.5 miles. And it says here, please join us on May 15th, 2024 for our ride of silence. We will gather at the Mansfield Community Center, Mansfield Town Offices, located at 10 South Eagleville Road in Storrs, Connecticut. We're going to gather at 6:50 p.m. I'm telling people 6:30 p.m. just so we can get everybody in there in case we get a big crowd. And they're going to have a blessing of the bike and leave promptly at 7 p.m. All ride of silence rules will be followed. Helmets are mandatory, and maximum speed of 12 miles per hour. Approximate distance is 3.5 miles. So, yeah. Yeah, come bring your kids. Great thing to show to the kids. It's a lovely activity. There's some sadness to it, but there's also some reality to it. And to bring your kids to something like this, it definitely is a demonstration of sorts. It is, I think some people refer to it as a critical mass ride, and that's another way of making a point. And again, it's completely safe because we have great volunteers from the UConn Police Department that are helping us with this. So it's a great thing to do. So please tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your family members. Let's go. Let's go ride our bikes. We're going to ride our bikes 3 miles, and we're just going to go nice and slow. We're going to be super quiet about it. You can be as noisy as you want before and after. That's okay. The trick is to see if Billy Dujack can stay quiet for the entire 3.5 miles. That's always a fun thing. He says the same thing about me, so whatever. But that's it. So if you have a particular member, friend, family member that can't ever be quiet, this is a challenge. You can throw it out there. Hey, I'll bet you can't ride your bike and not say a word for 3 miles. And, you know, it's just goofy stuff. But anyway, the ride of silence is serious business. It really is serious business. And if you can get a big enough crowd at your ride of silence, you can also get a lot of attention to your local legislators about, you know, how much we need safer infrastructure for riding our bicycles. And it makes a statement. It makes a point. That's what we're trying to prove here. Trying to prove a point, okay? Trying to show that people can ride their bicycle safely. And you're not going to have a police escort every time you go, but you are going to be able to at least ride your bike safely if your town is starting to pay attention to safety structures, infrastructures that will make cycling safer for everyone. So anyway, that's the Ride of Silence. That is in May, Bike Month. So that's another Bike Month thing. Let's see. What else do we have here? I'm going to move right on to bicycle racing because it's an exciting time of the year. We've got the three major tours, Grand Tours, the Giro d'Italia, the Tour de France, and the Vuelta a España. Those are the three classic major races. There are other races out there too, but the Giro has begun and it started out this weekend. And all I can say is all hail Tadej Pogačar. Tadej Pogačar is on fire. He did not win the opening stage. He was actually beaten on a sprint on the opening stage, which took a few people by surprise. They didn't quite think that he was going to lose right from that get-go. But stage two, he took care of that problem very quickly and very efficiently. We won't say quickly. He waited for a little while, and before he went, he waited until there was 5K to go, so still had 3 miles left in the race. But his teammate, Mika, led out a strong lead out. The pace was picking up pretty strong. Mika got up in front. He made a really strong pull, and Tadej was sitting on his heels. And if you watched the video, you could see the two of them having a discussion shortly before it happened. And obviously they were questioning, okay, do you have the legs for this? I mean, are you ready to, when do you want to go? When do you want me to really lead you out? It was kind of what the discussion was. Well, Tadej said, when it gets tough, I want to go. And so at 12%, Pogačar made an attack with 5K to go. 12% grade is kind of ugly on the legs. If any of you out there ride your bikes a lot, you know what I'm talking about. Anything over double digit, anything in the double digit range starts to really break your legs earlier. But Pogačar, he just took off. So that was kind of cool to see. There's great footage that is available. If you don't have HBO and you can't watch it live, there is definitely lots of YouTube video afterwards that is broadcast. And that's that breakaway that he did at the very end is definitely there. Put 30 seconds on the field, kept it, held it all the way to the end. And the rest is history. So right now, it's Tadej's race to lose, not to win, to lose, because he's got a big lead out there. He does have someone right behind him. Geraint Thomas is right there. And there were some weird words said, and I was trying to find that this morning, but I couldn't find it. But, you know, Thomas had some, I don't know, Thomas should not make any statements whatsoever. I mean, Tadej Pogačar is 25 years old. He's won 2 Tour de France's. He was one of the youngest riders to ever win the Tour de France. This kid is on fire, and he's really, really talented and really, really strong. And Thomas is, you know, he's kind of getting a little older. I hate to say that in your 30s is a little older, but when you're my age, it's really young. But anyway, it's, you know, there's some competition out there, but I think it's going to be, you know, it's basically going to be this UAE team and Ineos are the two teams that are out there in full support of this particular tour. Visma is there, but I don't see a lot of strong contenders there, so I'm not really sure what's going on there. That is probably going to be saved for the Criterium de Dauphiné, which is coming up. It's a kind of an entry, what am I going to say, body check or whatever you want to call it, you know, fitness check for riders before the Tour de France. A lot of people who do the tour will do the Criterium de Dauphiné to test their legs and to see the team director sportifs will use that as a gauge to see which riders they're going to take to the tour and which riders they're going to leave home. So, you know, it's that's coming up soon too, and that's where we're going to start talking about Mr. Coos. Yeah, Mr. Coos is, you know, he is working on his fitness, from what I've been told. I don't know exactly where he's at as far as that goes, but there still is, he's still got some time, and whether they make him the team, you know, GC guy or not, I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, right now, we're all eyes are on, they're all on Tadej Pogačar, and he is just, he's just an amazing guy, and I know I have something in here on him. From the Giro d'Italia 2024, Tadej Pogačar form raises huge questions despite the stage two win. Did we see some grimaces? I don't. I think somebody's getting critical here. What is this site from? This is from, I don't know what this is from. Anyway, he may not be in his best fitness at this time, but it doesn't really matter, really, if he is planning on going for a double. And what I mean by going for a double is he could do really, really well in the Giro and possibly win, probably win the Giro, I think, at this point, and then go on to be very, very competitive in the Tour de France afterwards. Typically, those guys are kind of right on the back of one another, so it's a little bit of a hard call to be able to pull off two grand tour victories in a row like that. I've seen oftentimes where someone will win the Giro and then they won't come back until the Vuelta a España, which is later in the year, and they'll have their legs back at that point in time. If you've ever raced your bicycle and you have to get up the next morning and race your bike again, yeah, know what I'm talking about. And when these guys do it, they're doing it for 20 days plus in a row. So it's really hard to recover. And that's what that is. So anyway, there's all sorts of talk about the slow speed crash that happened in stage two. And of course, you know, Pogačar went down because he had no air left in his tire. He had sealant all over the tire and all over the road, and he slipped out. And it was just a really slow speed, poof, down he went. Very quickly got a wheel change, and he was back in and ready to go. But, you know, that goes back to where do I end? You know, the UA team has two choices to use as far as their tire sponsor goes. That tire sponsor makes both tubeless tires and also makes tubular tires. So tubeless clincher tires and tubular tires. If you're gonna ride with sealant inside your tire anyway, why not ride a tubular tire? That's my feeling. Because when it does blow or whatever, it gets a puncture, it doesn't spew out all of that sealant all over the place. And it just makes a big mess. It stays contained within the tire. But I go back to my tubeless tire thing, and I just wish that I could find more wide tubeless tires that have just a road tread on them, not a cyclocross tread. You find plenty of them with cyclocross tread because that's what they make a lot of them for that. I'm waiting for a good 32C tubular tire to come out because I haven't found one yet. If anybody out there is listening and they found one, please let me know, because I would much rather ride on those than ride on clinchers that I'm riding on right now. I'd be a lot happier. The ride quality is that much better, and I just, you know, I like them better. I find them far more dependable than a tubeless tire. If you're going to use tubeless tires and you're in a mountain bike on a mountain bike ride or in a mountain bike race, or you're just out cruising around on your mountain bike, I think tubeless is the way to go. But please keep them off the road. I just, every time I see another mishap with them, I wonder why the UCI is still allowing them to happen at this point. They're just not as dependable as everyone seems to feel they are. So anyway, my opinion, you get a lot of those when you listen to Bicycle Talk. I have opinions. It happens. I've been around. I've been on the earth for a few years. So I have definitely formed some opinions because of that. Yeah, it's, you know, we're just gonna see what happens. I think his fitness looks pretty good. I was very impressed with his launch on that 12% grade. That 12% grade, which I think eventually became a 14% grade, that was not an easy thing to do. And he seemed to handle it just fine. And at a pace which was what I would call, conservative, even. And if that's conservative, wait until he really lets loose. And, you know, he's got a number of days to work on his fitness. Today, he's probably just sitting in. Again, like I said, I do not have any results from today's Giro, so I don't have that information in front of me, and I'm not going to give you any spoiler alerts or anything like that. So, it's... You know, he's got time in the next 3 or 4 days, I believe, to basically just sit in and let his teammates surround him and bring him into the finish line. You can get a lot of fitness with that. You really can. It makes a big, big difference when you can just sit in, not have to worry about anything, and you've got the protection of your team all around you, and you've got the dependability of the wheels that are around you. You get a lot of quick fitness from that. It really makes a big difference. So, the time of year that the Giro is, there is a tendency for riders to come in with a little less fitness and then leave with a much higher level of fitness because they've got all this great base in now. And you know, yes, they're going to need a lot of rest afterwards because racing your bike for 20 days in a row is definitely not an easy thing to do. And even though you are prepared for it and you are, you know, you've got your massage team and your food team and all that taking care of you and your medical team taking care of you, it's still a very, very hard thing to do. But at 25 years of age, oh, God. Yeah, when I was 25, I was pretty fit and pretty invincible at that point in time. And I had also opened up a bike shop 2 years before that. You know, I was definitely very, very tired because I was working too much, but that's all right. I could still get out and I could still race my bike. So it was kind of fun. So, yeah, I think the numbers are going to improve with Tadej. I think he's definitely, and I just don't see a lot of really, really tight competition near him at this point in time. We'll see what happens as they get into more hills. I think they're dropping into more hills later in the weekend coming up. And so we'll see what's going on there. it says here, Pogacar reveals that the crash gave him extra adrenaline to win stage two. Yeah, well, he didn't really crash hard. He just kind of tipped over. But anyway, yeah, that can get you a little anxious for sure. And that will definitely drive up some adrenaline for sure. But anyway, it's a good race to watch. If you're not watching yet, it's the Giro d'Italia. It's on, it's happening. And it is just so, so much fun right now. And so we are looking for... we are looking for the Visma team, Visa Lisa bike team, to come on strong. I think during the Criterium de Dauphiné, I think that's where we'll start seeing them accelerate again. We'll see where, who they're going to pick to bring to the Tour de France. This is kind of, it's kind of an indicator. It's a fitness check, and we'll see what happens there. I think that all could be good. I'm going to move on here because I am just running out of time, as always. I will mention that the exhibitor and attendance numbers at the Sea Otter Classic this last few weeks back over in California, Monterey, California, they were up this year. So there is still a tremendous amount of interest in bicycles and cycling. So that's kind of cool. It's more of a consumer show, consumer-oriented show. It's kind of cool. When I went there years ago, there was also a road race and a mountain bike race formed around it. There was a lovely 19-mile mountain bike course, nice cross-country course. It was just beautiful to ride on. It was really, really beautiful. And I got a chance to ride a lap of that when I was out there. It was pretty nice. And then they have, it's kind of at a speedway, so they've got races going on, road races going on at the same time. So we are going to move on, and I'm going to save all this stuff here for later on because there are some more things that I can always talk about. And I'm going to go right to events because I want to talk a little bit about Bicycles on Main, which is the annual Bicycles on Main. It's the old Wethersfield Shopkeepers Association. They have a winning event that brings people in from all over. If you've ever been to there, they also have a Scarecrows along Main. And so, you know, it's kind of a big deal. People come in from a long ways to kind of check it out and take pictures of themselves next to the decorated bikes and the scarecrows and the different things that they do. It's totally a cool thing. So it is to help celebrate Bike Month, National Bike Month. So the 1st of May to the 31st of May. It's a beautiful place to go. It's a lovely spring day. You can, there's shops and cafes and all sorts of things to do. I'm hoping to meet Billy there to do a coffee shop and also to ride across the Putnam Bridge when they cut the ribbon for the ribbon cutting on Friday. So that'll be a lot of fun. Other things here, the MADE show is in Australia this year from 28th to 29th of June. And the U.S. version is in Portland, Oregon from August 23rd through the 25th. Those are custom-made bicycles. Pretty cool stuff. Domestique Events has another epic ride coming up this fall, the Lime Rock Epic. The Ride of Silence is May 15th, rain or shine. And we hope to see lots of you there. I have lots of overflow parking over at E.O. Smith High School if we need overflow parking. Or you could just ride your bike there if you want. June 1st, Boston to Hyannisport, Mass. Yeah, the Best Buddies ride. I'll be there. That was just an inspiring thing. I'm actually wearing Gabe's shirt here today. My best buddy Gabe was, he had his very first big adventure, 20 miles on the back of a tandem for the Best Buddies. And we have so many stories from that. It was just great. There is a 100-mile ride and a 55-mile ride, can't remember exactly, as well as a 20-mile ride. So there are different rides you can, and you raise money for the Best Buddies Association. So I'll talk a little bit more about that as we get closer to June 1st. And Ride the East is June 8th, 2024. It starts at the Gilson House Museum in Willimantic, Connecticut, exploring the air Airline Trail with the East Coast Greenway Alliance and Trust for Public Land. Got a couple of different rides there. There's a, I can't remember exactly what the routes, a 48 and an 18-mile ride on Stone Dust, so it's a gravel ride. The 2024 Steeplechase Bike Ride Walk is Saturday, August 17th. We have a 20-mile, 35, and 62-mile road ride, a 5-mile fundraising walk, and in addition to last year's 18-mile gravel ride, there is going to be an additional 40-mile gravel route available, 90% dirt roads and trails on that. Project Mayhem Cyclocross is coming up this fall. Stay tuned. I will be a part of that also. So here's our finishing points. It's Bike Month. Right. Cool, huh? Yeah, do something fun for Bike Month. I think that's a good thing. And how about the Giro? What's your prediction? Predictions are pretty strong that it's going to be Tadej Pogačar. But, you know, that's what it is. And am I going to see any of you at the Putnam Bridge trail opening? Hope so. That'll be kind of fun. So, 2024, more miles, ride and commute to work around town, better fitness, or simply enjoying your bike rides so that you take and more by just like slowing down and, you know, smelling the roses. I'll say it again, it won't be my last time. Get loud, get active. Our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic, dangerous roads, the price of gas, and the lack of places to safely ride, and join the revolution of change. Hey, take a day. Park that car or truck. Ride your bike instead. You just might surprise yourself. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. You've been listening to Bicycle Talk and here on WHUS Radio. I'm Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep that rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org. Thank you so much for listening. Take care now. See you next week. Get on your bike!